Having a financial institution and finance, the agriculture credit system in India is very much required to understand. Farmers get the external finance assistance from two sources. There are only two sources. One is a non-institutional or unorganized agencies, and another source of finance is institutional or organized agencies. It is a fact that agriculture has been financed by the non-institution and agencies and since long time. Now, these institutional agencies were started functioning only during the early part of this century. Now, let us understand what this non-institutional source of finance in India for the agriculture is. These non-institutional sources, they include the moneylenders, then landlords, traders, then commission agents, friends and the relatives who support to the farmers for giving them the money. Let us understand one by one how they are functioning and what is the impediments, what are the drawbacks, what are the bottlenecks also. So the first one is a moneylender. Moneylenders are of two types. One is a professional moneylender and second one is an agriculture moneylender. The agriculture moneylender's main occupation or main business is to finance only to the farming and money lending for secondary items. Okay, so only finance agriculture, that is the money lender, agriculture money lenders. And pure professional money lender, he doesn't bother about whether he is financing to the agriculture or whatever it may be. He only knows there is a borrower, whatever may be his activities, and he has to finance it. So he takes care of lending. He takes the decision to lend the money and they are taking the land as a security. Okay. Then, having understood that, the advantages of getting the finance from the money lenders, what are these advantages? Because illiterate people, farmers, or they are middle level people, they don't have much knowledge about the law, they don't have law or any credit facilities available to them. So naturally, dependency will relying on the local sources of the financing, and money lender is a local resource. Okay, so why they are depending on that? Because there is an unrestricted supply of the credit for any purpose these money lenders were giving. And for them, for farmer, it is very easy access to these money lenders so as to maintain the close relationship with that money lender, because they know face to face each other. Method of the business adopted is a simple and flexible by these money lenders. Then timely availability of the credit without many formalities, they can very well lend. And knowledge of the local condition and also the experience of the money lender facilitate his business, and he can give the money and he can recover it also, because he knows that he knows the people and he knows their business. So money lenders do not insist upon any particular type of security for granting of the loans. But having made available this facility, there are certain unfair practices which are undertaken by these money lenders, which consist of, they can manipulate the bonds and the promissory notes which are executed from the farmers for obtaining the loan. Second one, they give no receipt for any repayment, and even as it is only on the mouth request or oral request, they can give the money, they can recover it, and they do not keep any records also. So they charge very high rate of interest, and even if it is paid back, there is no record, so he can claim and he fight with the farmers and get this recovered. And they give the loans for both the productive as well as unproductive purposes, which results into the indebtedness of the farmers. This is the biggest impediment in obtaining the loan from the money lenders. Landlords are also very much popular in the rural areas. Small farmers and the tenants who are relying on the landlords for financing to meet their productive requirement or unproductive expenses like that. Okay. So the source of finance has all the defects if they are taking from the landlords. These interest rates are exorbitant, very high interest rate they are charging if they lend it to landlord, gives the money to the farmers. Then often the small farmers are forced to sell out the land many times to these landlords if they are not repaying the loan which is availed by them. And they become the landless laborers. They become bonded laborers. They have to work for one generation to another generation into their land which is acquired. Originally it was their only, their own land. But having not paid the money which is received or taken from the landlords, he acquires that land and he has to work on the same land. Earlier was owner, now he becomes a bonded laborer on that same land. So the reliance on this agency by farmers has been decreased or reduced over the years. Another type of lender or financer is the trader and the commission agent. Now the trader and commission agents, you know, they are in the market, they are working in the marketplace. They know the villages around them. They know the farmers. And they are very well keeping their relationship with these people in the farmers. Okay. So these traders and the commission agents, they are functioning either to get the regular supply of the product for their trade or to have the control over the provision of the credit by the creditors. Though the rate of interest charged by them is not as high as charged by the money lenders or landlords, they charge more in the form of concessions and the service charges. Mostly, the finance for the cultivation of commercial crop like sugarcane, cotton, groundnut, tobacco, onion, etc. Okay, the share of the credit provided by these agencies to the total credit is reduced nowadays because there is availability of the credit through the banking institution or institutional credit is available to the farmers. The biggest obstacle in increasing the farmers' income in India are the profiteering by the middlemen only, and they are choosing the blood of the farmers. Commission agents, traders, wholesalers like that, they take the major chunk of the profit from the farmers' produce. And this leaves very little room for the farmers to for the improvement. So these agents are working in the life, though they are working as a lifeline for the farmers, it is not advisable to deal with them continuously. Indeed, a farmer borrow money in advance from them and sell their produce through them only. They don't have liberty to go to directly to the market and sell their produce. Because of that, they are this from these traders, they have taken a loan or taken the money earlier. It is mandatory for them to sell this product to the same traders or commission agents. And by virtue of that, any rate which is not driven by the market, any reduced rate, very low rate, they purchases and they sales into the market at high rate. So MSP, that is minimum sale price, even though it is declared by the government, that price farmer is not at all getting. So the farmers were left with no other choice but to sell their produce through the middleman much below the MSP, that is maximum sale price. Another entity is the relatives. That is good, but up to certain extent only relatives can help to the farmers, is it not? So farmers borrow from their relatives for temporary existences. It is simply for help to each other, that is mutual help. And since all farmers are living under the similar conditions, they cannot lend a large sum of loans to, large sum of money to their fellow relatives. So normally, whenever such borrowing and lending takes place. Normally, no interest is paid on such loans, and loan is often used for washful purposes like marriages, birthday celebration, or whatnot. Mean to say, unproductive purpose. So, the conclusion is thus, it is evident from whatever we have discussed, need of the consumption loan in rural households is continued to persist. On celebration on the large scale, wasting the money on such kind of celebration. And this is as the institution denies this kind of a consumption loan to the farmers, the non-institutional agency continue to dominate in the rural credit system. Now coming down to checking or understanding the another type of credit agencies, and that is institutional credit agencies. The major institutions which supplies the credit to the farmer or the rural credit is, the first one is a government, second one is a cooperative societies, commercial banks, then regional rural bank, which is popularly called as RRBs, then Reserve Bank of India, certain scheme they can route it there through the nationalized bank or public sector banks financing, and then NABARD, that is National Bank for Agriculture and Rural Development. Let us understand one by one how they are financing. First one is the government. Government has different scheme post independence, and maybe previously last one or two decades, the lot of development has took place at the government level also to increase the farm output. So government is granting the finance to the farmers directly, and many times it is indirectly also. So direct finance, the government provides the TACVI loan, government TACVI loans, which in terms of the distress like FEMA, flood and drought, this is called as a TACVI loan, because government knows farmer doesn't have any security to give other than the land. He needs the funds, and if already some money is taken against the assets, that is land, then during this difficult situation like heavy flood, heavy rain, or maybe drought like conditions, the farmer cannot give any repayment assurance for the repayment. So as to help them out, the government says, okay, some amount of as a relief measure, they are giving it to the farmers. So these are called as a TACVI loan, because its recovery is little bit a question mark. So the short-term financial assistance to the farmers for the agriculture development, and also the relief measures during these distressed times, is offered by the government. Government provides also indirect finance to the farming sectors. They are granted for the longer period of time, because they know the flood-like situation, drought-like situation, famine-like situation will not recover overnight, or maybe only months, or maybe 6 months' time. It took a longer time to again recoup the same position as earlier. So the government charges low interest charge, and repayment plan is convenient as per the requirement of the farmer. There are several demerits also in financing by the government to agriculture, because the quantum of loan is determined on the basis of the value of the security offered, by which the large farmers receive more amount and small farmers and marginal farmers will be receiving very less amount. As these loans are not production purpose oriented, they do not satisfy and the standard needed for the sound system of the farm credit. That is why the loan amount is always inadequate when it is financed by the, or when it is granted by the government. The landless laborers were left out in lurch at the time of distress. The TACVI loan, that is FEMA, whenever there is a famine, or maybe there is a flood, or whenever there is a situation like drought, that time TACVI loans are given, but TACVI loans are not popular among the farmers because of its inordinate delay in sanctioning the loan. If the FIBAN is there, after 6 months only they will sanction it and disbursement, and then coming to reaching to the farmer, it takes very long time. That is why it is, there is an inordinate delay when the government sanctions under any scheme, any loans, or any, not loans only, but compensation only. Very long time it is taking because it is a government. Then imposition of the irrelevant condition. Various other conditions they are imputed into. Okay. Then incompetent supervision. There is no supervision as such. As bureaucrats are also involved with the politicians, any government scheme which is implemented by the government, it is hardly reaching to the farmers who is the end user or end receiver. So inconvenient recovery method is also adopted in case of the government loan. Coming down to understand the indirect finance to the agriculture, the government, by the government, government says it allocates the subsidized fertilizers to the states which is according to the needs. It provides the technical assistance to the farmer, as well as it implements the price stabilization scheme for the various crops. Okay, but that is at latter stage. In consultation with the Reserve Bank of India, the government prescribes the rate of interest to be charged on the loans which are granted to the weaker section of the rural areas, and in it contributes to the share capital and the debentures of the cooperatives. Instead of playing the direct role in the providing the farm credit, the government may play a vital role in creating the conditions of infrastructural facilities to promotion of this institutional credit. Now, India's agriculture development problem. There are various problems. One, lack of access to the credit. Lack of access to the credit. This is one of the most pressing issue that hinders the India's rural population from progress. Then lack of protection to the farmers. Loan is taken, but again, the inflated cost which is faced by the agriculture, it is always become a shortage. So he has to look for another source of finance. So he has to avail the same. So it improves the quality of the fertilizers, and hence it is an output, because it requires the fertilizers which are of high quality. Okay. Then third reason is the lack of credit loans. This is coupled with the improper government intervention. Third problem is the presence of commercial banks in the remote location of India or less. Now it is certain RRBs, regional rural banks, or maybe certain NBFCs, or inclusion, financial inclusion, very recently, maybe in this year, this decade only, last 4 or 5 years only, this has come into the existence. So a financial inclusion scheme has been developed by the government, and the banks also have been permitted to establish, to appoint their agents so as to understand the farmers and their difficulties for granting the loan. There should be a better banking system which is established, that the accessible to and affordable to the persons. Major challenges consist of the first category belongs to the problem that have been a long standing. Okay. There are two categories. There are two categories of the farms. First category, where there is a persistent problems, and second category problem is new, and it has been emerging from the prevailing agriculture practices, systems, changing the climate of the economy. So major challenges are the stagnation in production of the major crops. Stagnation, because same crop, again and again, if it is cultivated, the productivity is very, very less. So rice and wheat are these are the two agriculture output or crops which has been stagnating for quite some time and does not meet the need of the growing population. Then high cost of the farm input, that is rate of the seeds, rate of the fertilizers, rate of insecticides, or cost at which the pesticides are made available, then high yielding variety of the seeds, that is also not made available to the farmer. The farm's labor cost is also increased. So these are some of the challenges which are faced by the farmers. Soil exhaustion is also another major problem, because soil exhaustion means the loss of nutrient in the soil from farming the same crop again and again for the over the years, over the period of time. Depreciation of the fresh groundwater, depletion of this ground level water because of the major pumping of this problem, pumping of the groundwater. The level of the groundwater goes down and there is non-availability of the water to the farmers. And this happens because of usage, excessive usage of the chemical and fertilizers. Okay. And in addition to that, another problem is the adverse impact of the global climatic change. Climate changes, as per the global report, the increase in the temperature from 2 to 3%, that would also increase the sea level, and more intense cyclone, unpredictable rainfall, then you can say cyclone like conditions on unpredictable rain. These are also some of the impediment, these are some of the problems which are faced by the agriculturists. These changes would adversely affect the production of the rice and wheat. Next impact is about the globalization. Most evident effect is that the squeeze on the farmers' income and the threat to viability of the cultivation in India. This is due to rising input cost and the falling output prices. Whatever is produced, they are not getting the proper price for that. So this reflects the combination of reduced subsidy and the protection which was required by the farmers. Providing the food security. There is no food security as such. Before the introduction of the Green Revolution in India, we were not self-sufficient, self-reliant in terms of our food grain production. And with the introduction of the Green Revolution project by the government, the production of the food grains is increased substantially and India becomes the self-sufficient. Although India has become a self-sufficient in the goods, it is yet to ensure that the food security, which is dependent upon the accessibility, affordability, and well nutritional value of the food, is available. One of the biggest challenges for facing India is providing the food security to the population. Farmer suicide, that is a very big and recent issue which is faced by last decade, last 4 or 5 years by the country. Every suicide by the farmer has a multiple causes, different causes. These suicide appears to be a concentrated mostly on the commercialization of the agriculture, and they have the high peasant debts. Commercialization, they cannot come out, and the peasants, that is farmer, he will not come out of the debt. So he needs the government assistance. That is the reason why there will be a farmer suicide. Cash crop farmers seemed for the more are vulnerable to suicide than those of the growing food crops. In cash crops, large area is covered, but if the crash due to famine, drought, or non-availability of the water, or maybe certain fertilizers or whatever, the crops is not grown properly, then there is an indebtedness. And that is a heavy loss is sustained. Recover, loan which is taken, farmer cannot repay. Under the stress, he may commit the suicide also. Yet, the basic underlying cause of the crisis is remain untouched. Use of technology is also another important reason. This is one of the challenges which is faced by the Indian farmers. Use of technology. It is provided that use of the modern technology reduces the farm operational cost. If technology is used, labor cost will be reduced, definitely. Time is also reduced, and industrial look can be given to the farm sector. So perfect use of the digital world and use of the modern technology made the life of farmers little bit easier. Power irrigation, latest machinery, farm mechanization, solar pumps, these are some of the examples of the uses of the modern technology. Recent changes and amendments in the farm bill will have an impact on the farm product, farm produce, and also the cost benefit to the farmers. Thank you very much.